morning. Welcome to Hollywood United Methodist Church. We are glad that you have joined us this morning in person and online. Please stand as you are able for opening hymns.
Invite all children up here for children's moments. My name is April Olt. I am the children's coordinator here.
And I'm Kevin McCluskey, Director of Children and Youth Ministry. I know there's some other kids in the congregation, but maybe they just don't want to come up to the steps.
That's okay.
No, that's good. That's fine.
That's all right. So Annalie and I always get in these conversations in the car where I have no choice but to answer the questions because we're stuck in the car. And so yesterday's question was, April, well, she calls me Bubble, why does it rain? Does anybody ever ask that question before or wonder? What do you think?
Plants need water.
Plants need water. Good. What else?
Rain is part of nature.
Right. You are exactly right, Lila Bell. All right, so the way I explained it, and I have not had science since I majored in theater, was, you know, we live near the ocean, and water evaporates and goes up into the sky, and eventually, when it's just right, you know, it's like a sponge. It has to come down at some point. And Annalie, what did you say after I said that?
Like we what? Like when we hold our breath.
Like when we hold our breath when we breathe. You hold your breath and eventually it has to come out. And so what we've been talking about is, just like you said, Olivia and Franklin, every living thing needs water, right? And water creates life. Yeah. And so we've been talking about a lot of that with water. And water, what are some other things that we do with water?
Wash the dishes.
Wash the dishes, right? What else?
And wash our hands.
Wash our hands. What else? That's okay. Yeah, it's part of cleaning, right? Making us clean, our hands clean. We need it to brush our teeth and wash our hair. And it's part of, we're going to see in just a moment, we're going to see baptism with water. And I'm so glad you brought that water up with you today. Right? Water creates life, not only physically creating life, it's our life with God. It's a symbol from God that we're cleansed and we come back new. So hold on 1 second. Oh, and stuffies, apparently, too. We all have to bring our animals, even if they're stuffed friends today. And so that's what we're going to continue to talk about. Hold on 1 moment. And that's what we'll see when the children get baptized, and adults and anybody gets baptized with water. And Mr. Kevin's going to lead us in prayer.
I am going to lead us in prayer. And our youth group does meet today. We have youth group that will meet in Grant Hall, and those that are getting confirmed are going to stay until 12:30. So we're looking forward to that process. But let's pray, and then we'll head back to our seats so we can participate in the baptism. Creator God, thank you for the cleansing power of water in this world that you have set up. Thank you for all the rain that we have received this season. We're so thankful for the rain and the snow and how it sustains our land and all of our animals and our people. Thank you for baptism, and thank you for what water represents, that you cleanse us, that you purify us, that you give us a chance to start again every single day. And I pray that today's church and our church family being together, we'll be reminded of that. Today is a new day. Your blessings are new. Your forgiveness is here. And we can claim your grace every single day. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right, let's get back.
We're going to sit right back in the front row. Sit right back.
I'd like to invite Jocelyn to bring her parents and family up. Baptismal font problem. Go ahead and line up right here. Oh, you can face it. Okay. So this is baby Jocelyn. Jocelyn Sunny Anguiano Rasco, and her mommy Monique was one of my youth just a couple years ago, I'm telling you. And they have brought, she and Jose have brought baby Jocelyn for baptism. So, Pastor Bridie, would you ask the questions?
I will. I have a few questions for you. Jocelyn, your family is going to answer for you, if that's okay. On behalf of the whole church, I ask you, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of the world, and repent of your sins? Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression, and in whatever forms they may present themselves? Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in his grace, and promise to serve him as your Lord in union with the church which Christ has opened to people of all ages, nations, and races? And will you nurture Jocelyn in Christ's holy church, that by your teaching and example, she may be guided to accept God's grace for herself, to profess her faith openly, and to lead a Christian life?
Let us pray. Loving God, pour out your Holy Spirit to bless this gift of water and she who receives it, to wash away her sin and clothe her in righteousness throughout her life, that dying and being raised with Christ, she may share in his final victory. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Jocelyn Sunny, I baptize you in the name of the Father, no, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The Holy Spirit work within you that being born of water and the Spirit, you might be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. Would you, Godfather, would you walk up with me? We're just going to walk up the aisle and introduce Jocelyn Sunny to the congregation. Please pray with me. Gracious God, we're grateful to you for the gift of water, the gift of baptism that symbolizes your grace that comes to us through baptism. We pray that you will bless Jocelyn and her family, and that you might again lead her to be a disciple of yours. We pray this in the name of Jesus our Christ. Amen.
Amen. I invite you all now to greet each other with a sign of Christ's peace, to greet Jocelyn and her family, and to welcome each other to this place. The peace of the Lord be with you. Friends, will you join me with greeting our friends in the balcony with the peace of Christ and all our folks who are watching from home right there at the cameras. We miss you. We're so glad you're with us. Peace of the Lord be with you. I invite you now to center yourself for a time of prayer and conversation with God, a time set apart from the rest of our service, the rest of our day. We encourage you to do this at home as well. You don't just have to pray in church on Sundays, but this is the time right here in this moment where we open ourselves to the Holy Spirit, to the moving, still, quiet voice, and share what is on our hearts and minds with the God who is always listening. And we are so grateful to be taken into that space by our wonderful church choir. Today is Blessing of the Animal Sunday, a practice drawn from the devotion of St. Francis of Assisi. His ministry included a special acknowledgement of the power of all living creatures and all those among us. So today I will begin our prayer time by offering you his most well-known prayer. It's not specifically about animals. You can look up his Canticle of Creatures if you want to look for his animal prayers. But I think it is encompassing of all of God's creation. Let us pray. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let us sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. And where there is sadness, joy. O God, grant that we may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive, it is in pardoning that we are pardoned, and it is in dying that we are born to eternal life. Bless us in our gathering. Make us mindful of your gifts and all of your creation. Thank you for the love for animals and the love from animals, which helps shape many of our lives. We pray this morning for all those furry, feathered, scaly friends amongst us who bring so much joy into our life. And we offer consolation for the many who have experienced pet loss this year. We are grateful for your creation, God, both those that stay in our homes with us and those that fill our planet, and we pray that you will make us good stewards to ensure that their creation is cared for. Help us to be a shepherd of your resources and to work that to ensure that all have what they need, that no person or animal suffer, and that life abundant is not taken for granted. This morning especially, we lift up to you many members of our congregation and our extended community who are in need of your presence, your healing, and your support. We lift up Rick to you and his recent diagnosis and his wife Linda as they navigate this process of medicine and healing. We pray for the friends and family of Suzanne Dodd in their mourning and are grateful for the celebration of life we had for her here. This morning we lift up Kaylin and her family. We pray for Jordan, Jordana, and Luca, for Trisha's mom, and for Reverend Brent Criswell. We also lift up Michelle and Tatiana and their children and friends during this time. We give thanks for an agreement that has passed with the Musicians Union and for a new contract, as well as a tentative agreement for a path forward for Starbucks workers and their employers. And we continue to pray for workers everywhere who are fighting for better working conditions and wages, including hotel workers in the 8th month of their strike. God, we ask that you will grant patience and resilience on the wrong road to justice for all people who seek it in every place. Help us to be partners in that journey, seeking justice where it is needed. There are many prayers that linger on our hearts and minds, and we offer them to you now in a moment of silent prayer. We offer it all to you, knowing that you can carry all things, all burdens, all pains, all worries. We know that there's very little that we can control in this life, and so we pray for your wisdom to guide our movements and our actions, that they may be a reflection of your love and your grace. We give thanks this morning for the sacraments of baptism, of Eucharist, of the Holy Communion, that reminds us we are one family with you now and always. We pray for your strength and your steadfastness, and we offer ourselves to you to give our efforts, our joy, our lives into the work of building your beloved community, following your Son, Jesus Christ, who has invited us on the road to freedom. All of this and more we pray in your name. Amen.
Good morning. Welcome. We're going to do some announcements right now. We're going to start by checking in. So please take out your phones and scan the QR code. Let us know that you're here. If you're new to us, please make sure that we have your email address. This way we can let you know about upcoming events. While you're in there, you can also make a prayer request. We do also have a QR code sign out in the lobby in case you missed this. Okay, Lent devotionals written by our church community are on Facebook, X, which is formerly known as Twitter, and on Instagram. Also on the HUMC website under the events tab. Today, right after church, we will have a special blessing for your furry family members in the gym. Please join us for fellowship, even if you didn't bring your pet today, and enjoy some delicious homemade snacks. Today we also actually have fruit and vegetables. Next Sunday, March 10, we have Adult Sunday Study that will continue with Rev Ed and Tim Payne's small group, and they will meet at 12:15 in the chapel. On the 12th, that's a Tuesday, it's our Tuesday group movie night. We'll be seeing Dune in IMAX at the Grove AMC at 7 p.m. It's half-price movie night, so go ahead and grab a ticket in and around Row J. If you want more information, you can email devin@hollywoodumc.org for more info. On March 24th, Kids Easter Egg Hunt. That's on Palm Sunday. Right after church, we will hold our annual egg hunt in our backyard green space. And I'm told that there's a special guest that will be there. Yes, the Easter Bunny will be celebrating with us, so you can actually get some photos with the Easter Bunny. Okay. Please make sure to pick up blessings bags that are in the lobby. That's always important here in Hollywood, is to distribute those. And please also grab... next to the basket, there are actually some blankets that you can bring as well. I will be in the gym later on, so please come to the welcome table if you have any questions for me. All that we do here is made possible by you, your prayers, your presence, your service, and your gifts. As ushers come forward, and we make the QR code up on the sign there. Please give as you are able so we can continue growing our ministry here in the heart of Hollywood. Thank you.
Beside my lake, the streaming stream. Our scripture reading today is from the book of Mark, chapter 5, verses 25 through 33. Now, there was a woman who had been suffering from hemorrhages for 12 years. She had endured much under many physicians, and she had spent all that she had, and she was no better, but rather grew worse. She had heard about Jesus and came behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak. For she said, "If I but touch his clothes, I will be made well." Immediately her hemorrhage stopped, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. Immediately aware that the power had gone forth from him, Jesus turned about in the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" And his disciples said to him, "You see the crowd pressing in on you. How can you say, 'Who touched me?'" He looked all around to see who had done it. But the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came in fear and trembling, fell down before him, and told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease." Word of God, words of life. Thanks be to God.
This morning we continue our Lenten sermon series, Good News, Finding Stories of Good News from the Gospel of Mark. Now we took a break last Sunday for a wonderful Soul Food Sunday, amen? Amen. But we return to our series today in the next 2 weeks. Oh, breathe, Kathy. And then it will be Palm Sunday and Easter. Today's Good News focuses on miracles. Roughly 20% of the gospel narratives are stories of healing and miracles. The great writer Frederick Buechner was right when he said that miracles do not cause us to believe so much as believing brings forth miracles. When we believe, we begin to find God in things as ordinary as each other and the world around us. That's possible even when things are bad. When we give up the illusion of control, we can then see God's out-of-control grace far better. Grace abounds in the gospel of in this gospel lesson, which is found in all three of the synoptic gospels, the story of Jesus healing an unnamed woman with a hemorrhage. Now, this story is often bookended by the story of Jesus also healing Jairus' daughter, but for today, we're going to focus on the unnamed woman with a hemorrhage for 12 years, the same number of years that Jairus' daughter has been alive, who comes to Jesus for healing. All this woman wants is healing, which she believes that she can receive if she only touches the hem of Jesus' garment. She's desperate. Her own body has betrayed her. For 12 long years, she's been considered unclean, unable to enter the temple or touch any person lest she render them unclean as well. She winds her way through the crowd of men who are surrounding Jesus as he is on his way to Jairus' home. She braves the public arena, which is not considered a proper place for a clean woman, much less an unclean woman. And she finds a way to get to him. When she does and commits an act of civil disobedience in touching the hem of his cloak, Jesus immediately senses her presence and the healing power that emanates from him to her. And what does Jesus do? He asks, "Who touched me?" The disciples are surprised as the crowd was not exactly practicing social distancing around Jesus. Anyone could have bumped into him. But the woman, fearful and trembling, comes forward and she kneels before Jesus. Wanting to move her from the shadows into the light, he acknowledged her value, her worth, and he bids her tell her story to everyone surrounding them. The great Debbie Thomas has written that Jesus knows that this daughter has spent 12 long years having other people impose their narratives on her, their interpretations, their assumptions, their prejudices. He knows that she's been reduced to caricature, shamed into silence by bad religion, denied the spiritual nourishment and empowerment that is her birthright as a child of God. She needs someone to listen, to understand, and to bless her whole truth in the presence of the larger community. She'd spent years in isolation when what she really needed was community. She'd been shunned by men who had imposed the sanctity of their cleanliness codes on a woman who had sought every remedy under the sun to no avail. Jesus knew she needed to be heard, that her truth needed to be told as a countervailing power to the societal and religious notions of who is clean and who is unclean, who is worthy and who is unworthy. And when she had finished her story, he said very simply, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease." Or today we'd say, "Go and be well." As I reflected on this story this week, I thought about a very different person who didn't get to live their story, and tell their story rather, and live in peace. Next Benedict was the 16-year-old transgender teen in Oklahoma who died one day after being beat up by three girls who had been bullying Next for their non-binary status. The official cause of death is still being determined, and as we all know, correlation does not necessarily mean causation. But even if the two events are not related, we know that Next was the object of repeated bullying. And we also know that, like hate and prejudice, bullying doesn't happen in a vacuum. It is taught. It's taught by parents, by school boards, sadly by too many churches, and by elected officials. In Oklahoma, lawmakers have introduced more than 50 anti-LGBTQ bills in its current legislative session. And while we grieve for Next and their family and friends and all who face us such abject hate, we must recognize that it's not only in Oklahoma. We can find it here in California too. Last month, Alicia shared with me that her experience at a local elementary school by a small group of parents, they're still treating her badly. This past week, one of my nieces, who is a child protective services investigator in a county far east and south of here, asked me if there were any churches like ours in the area, because she needed resources to offer LGBTQ kids and families. I went online and found a church, not of our tribe, but one that will offer her the help that she needs to serve her families. And that church preaches that there is no one, absolutely no one, who is not worthy of the love and grace of God. And that's the good news of this gospel lesson, that in the miracle of healing the unnamed woman, Jesus clearly says by word and example, "You are man-made," and I use that word intentionally, that man-made notions of cleanliness and purity do not matter. Your divisions of race and class and gender do not matter. Your prejudices do not matter. What does matter, what I call you to do, is to love God and love one another as God loves you. Legalism must give way to love every time. What matters is that you see the face of God in every person, no matter what. What matters is that no one is to be excluded from the beloved community because of who they are or whom they love. The kingdom of God includes everyone without exception. Now, notice that Jesus didn't call the unnamed woman, woman, as would have been the tradition back in the day. He calls her daughter. Jesus wants her to know that she is no longer on the outside, but she's part of the family. She's part of God's family. And that's the takeaway for us this morning as well. We need to be the ones to tell those who are on the margins, those who have been hurt, those who have been the victims of prejudice and hate and bigotry and bullying, that no, God loves you and God's grace is for you. That's part of our mission as this church and as Christians Universal. Daughter, son, sibling, society may set us apart from one another in myriad ways, but ours is a God that is bigger than anything we humans can create to divide us. We belong to God, and we belong to each other. So now as we prepare to gather around the table, let us consider the grace that God offers to us each and every day, the grace that we celebrated in the baptism of baby Jocelyn. Let us be grateful for the miracles in our own lives, including and especially this community of faith. And may we remember and live out the words of Buechner: miracles do not cause us to believe so much as believing brings forth miracles. Amen.
Christ and table.
Lenten season, we're blessed as we read the lessons in Mark's gospel of all of the marvelous healing that Jesus did out in the area of the Galilee, just like the miracle that we heard about today. But we also know that there was a time after all of that teaching in the Galilee where Jesus turned his face to Jerusalem. And he went into Jerusalem, where he faced the kind of politics and the kind of difficult expressions and conflict that we also heard about today. And as he faced that, he gathered with his friends, approaching the Passover, and with his friends, he took bread, he gave thanks to God, he broke the bread, and he said to his friends, "This is my body that is broken for you. Every time you eat together, do so in remembrance of me." And he also took a cup after the dinner, and he gave thanks to God. And he said to his friends, "This is the cup of the new covenant that is poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. As often as you drink from this cup, do so in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these mighty acts of Jesus Christ, we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has come, Christ has died, Christ has risen. Thanks be to God. And so we pray, O God, will you pour out your Holy Spirit upon all of us who are gathered here and upon these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we might be the body of Christ for the world, preaching his good news and saving grace that loves everyone. And make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes again and we feast together at the heavenly banquet. And now, O brothers and sisters, as children of God, let us pray together the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. We are invited to come and feast at the table.
The table of the Lord is open to everyone without exception. You don't have to be a member of this church or of any church to receive. The cup is grape juice, and there is a gluten-free option and individual cups if you would like to not be served by intinction, but would rather have your own individual cup. The table is set. The ushers will guide you. before I offer the benediction, I would like to introduce to you the newest married couple in this sanctuary, which was a week ago, yesterday, so February 24th. James and Bo, would you step out so we can greet you? It was a fun wedding. Now go forth, claiming the grace of God for yourself, knowing that God loves you and that God has called you to see the face of God in one another. Go forth in peace to love and serve the world. Amen. Amen.